Hello again, and welcome to Studies in the Gospels, a program heard each week here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host, and in this program, each week, we examine the life of Christ as found in the Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At this time, we are in a portion of our study as we are looking at the events surrounding the Jewish trial of Jesus. And today we're going to look at Jesus before Caiaphas and also the illegal meeting of the Sanhedrin. Our text today is found in Matthew chapter 26, verses 57 through 75. Mark records this in chapter 14, verses 53 through 64. Luke, in chapter 22, verse 54, and John in chapter 18, verse 28. Now, for our purposes today, we're going to primarily center in on the account of Mark. So let's go there now to Mark chapter 14, and we'll begin in verse 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now the chief priest and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.' But not even then did their testimony agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, 'Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?' But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him, saying to him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' Jesus said, 'I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven.' Then the priest tore his clothes and said, 'What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?' And they all condemned him to be deserving of death." So after Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper and identified Judas as the one who would betray him, Jesus and the disciples left the upper room and went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prayed and steeled himself for the events that were about to take place. While in the garden with the 11, Judas arrived with the mob and betrayed him with a kiss. Jesus willingly surrendered to the mob and restrained the 11 from fighting for him. So Jesus was led away to appear before Annas, the former high priest and father-in-law of Caiaphas, the current high priest. The apostles had fled in all directions when they realized that Jesus was bound and sent away with the mob. So now let's consider Jesus before the Sanhedrin. Verse 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him all were assembled all the chief priest, the elders, and the scribes. So Jesus now finds himself alone before his enemies. And so the next step of the greatest miscarriage of justice in mankind's history had begun. Verse 54. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. The beginning of the fall of Peter takes place right here. Notice at the beginning of verse 54, we find that Peter followed him at a distance. Peter had already separated himself from Jesus to an extent. But the truth is, any amount of distance between man and Jesus is too much. The separation of Peter from God is taking root. Recall the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Peter, while he was standing at the fire, could have taken up the defense of Jesus with anyone that was present and willing to listen. But Peter, while he is warming his body in front of the fire, is failing to warm his heart. And with this opening, Satan is grabbing a stronger hold upon Peter. And Peter is now moving away from the Lord. Verse 55 says, Now the chief priest and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. And so, the sham of a trial begins. There was certainly no legitimacy in these proceedings. There was certainly no honest effort to determine guilt or innocence. Only an effort was made to find a way to destroy Jesus. True, fair, and honest justice was the least of the concerns of Caiaphas or of the Sanhedrin court. When no witnesses could be found, they would simply seek out those who would willingly perjure themselves to help their cause. They fully intended to kill Jesus, and the trial was nothing more than an attempt to make it legal when they decided to kill Jesus. Verse 56. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But not even then did their testimony agree. They twisted intentionally the words of Jesus in order to trump up a charge of blasphemy. They accused Jesus of intending to destroy the temple literally. But even with all of their carefully constructed choreography, their testimony still did not agree. In John chapter 10 and verse 33, we read that the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." The people were supposed to be looking for the Messiah, as the prophets had foretold. There was more than enough evidence that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, but they still rejected him. But at least two false witnesses were willing to testify publicly, even if they could not get their story straight with even their pre-planning. And so in verse 60, and the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" False testimony had been brought forth, and as the night continued, nothing could be found to stick against Jesus. Burton Kaufman noted in his commentary, he said, "All night long, the preliminary investigation had gone forward, and nothing had come of it. In desperation, Caiaphas, who was beginning to find the judge's bench a very uncomfortable place, forsook the judicial status, usurped the role of prosecutor, placed Jesus under oath, and demanded an answer. But he would ask a question first." Verse 61. "But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' Jesus said, 'I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven.'" Jesus very wisely did not respond to their interrogations. If Jesus would not say he was the Son of God, it would be considered as admitting he was an imposter. If Jesus told them he was the Son of God, it would condemn him to death. Jesus very courageously told the truth. Do we have the courage to tell the truth when it is not convenient? Verse 63, "Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, 'What further need do we have of witnesses?'" This entire scene is utterly disgusting. The priest tears his clothes in disgust. Of course, it was a mocking disgust. The truth is that he was overjoyed with the situation. Wicked leaders lead people to wickedness and destruction. And my friends, It is high time that our nation realize this fact. Jesus stated that he was the Son of God, and nothing was done to disprove or further investigate the situation. They certainly did not want to investigate further, for they knew they could prove nothing. They would never accept the fact that Jesus was the Christ, no matter what was said or done. No one could deny the signs and the miracles and wonders that Jesus had worked. They simply refused to believe. We seem to forget how many today are exactly like those in the first century. And so, this phony show of disgust was the best that Caiaphas could come up with. Verse 64. You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Caiaphas just simply pronounces that Jesus is guilty of blasphemy and he should be killed. Let's refer again to the writing of Burton Kaufman here. Amazingly, if Christ's claim as the divine Messiah was untrue, that verdict was altogether proper and correct, that he was worthy of death. Without calling further witnesses, not even Christ, without waiting for an instant, let alone the legally required 3 days, the judge put the question to the court, and the predetermined verdict was promptly given. In all history, the Hebrews were the leaders in religious thought, and the Romans were the leaders in the fields of law and government. How unspeakingly tragic that humanity could so wretchedly fail that Roman justice and Hebrew religion should alike concur in sentencing the Son of God to die for testifying under oath to the truth of the sublime fact that he was actually the Son of God. And so, Jesus is convicted of blasphemy. The penalty for blasphemy was death by stoning. Notice with me from Leviticus chapter 24, beginning in verse 10. Now the son of an Israelite woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out from among the children of Israel. And this Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel fought each other in the camp. And the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. So they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. Then they put him in custody that the mind of the Lord might be shown to them. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, Take outside the camp him who has cursed. Then let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. Then you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, Whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. And whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as him who is born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. The priest, were scared of the public to stone him. And so they decided to give him to the Roman authorities to do their dirty work in the name of Rome. And so Jesus had now been betrayed. Jesus had been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane and had now been dragged before Annas, and then in turn dragged before Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin court. But it's not over. This mockery of justice was just getting started and only going to become more evil and disgusting as the Lord was moving through this trial alone. Next week, if the Lord wills us to be together, we'll continue our look at the Jewish trials of Jesus. And next week, we will consider the denials by Peter. I hope you'll join me. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it'll be posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. Again, stay tuned for all the programming here on the network. And until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a great day.